Do you want a podcast? Is it wicked?
I'm loving it. I'm loving it, I think.
Tom Matt Attack. How do you do, DJ Thomas? You all right?
Hello, Matthew. Yes, very well, thank you. Have you noticed I've shaved?
You have shaved.
We haven't touched upon this
You've
yet.
Literally taken years off your life
yeah.
by shaving.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
Yeah.
What, your naked face?
I just got used to it.
Your strange naked face.
By the way, podcast listeners, Matt can grow a very good moustache, but he chooses not to.
I could grow a moustache. Mm. This is true. Fortunately, as you, dear podcast listeners, would never see it in your day-to-day, you may accuse me of seeing pictures and saying, hey, that's blatantly photoshopped. No man could grow such a delicious-looking moustache.
Delicious because of what's kept inside.
Exactly. I could store tasty treats in there for later, such as jam. There could be preserves of many kinds. I could keep pickling ointments in there also.
Tasty.
But no, in real life, it's a bit of an inconvenience because it'll just kind of sit on my top lip. And when I sip a cup of tea gets trapped in there.
It looks good though, Matt.
The missus also hates facial hair. And whenever I grow a moustache, I'm kind of on board with it for like a week. And then I realise I'm turning into my dad.
I'm naked without it.
You think?
I am. I need it back. I bring this up because I was discussing with Matt earlier that people don't tend to see us.
No, this is true.
And we've been watching a lot of Game Chasers.
Oh, God,
recently.
Too much Game Chasers, I would say. Also and, bit of Pat the Nez Punk.
It's a big part of their thing that you see the guys on camera. I mean, of course you do, because they're going around the flea markets collecting the stuff. You're going to see them. But
so Game Chasing go, Tom.
They're big personalities, and a lot of that is their character.
If, by the way, you haven't seen Game Chasers, please go watch it because it's the most fascinating thing in the world.
It's highly addictive.
It's essentially two guys called Billy and Jay who go around to flea markets and just get the best shit. You just like look at some of their finds sometimes and it's just insane. Like they got an American copy of Little Samson for like $10 and Flintstone at Dinosaur Peak. For five. It's just crazy, crazy stuff. But it's really entertaining to watch because they're very
well made and high production value. Well,
yeah.
It doesn't have a high production value, does it really?
No,
but
it
feels like it does.
It's just well edited. It feels like, you know, your bargain hunts or anything like that.
Yeah.
Anything on British TV, it kicks the ass of, and it's a web TV show. So it's all good and hood. But yeah, you are right. There is a lot of them on camera and their personalities are kind of interjected into the show a lot and it makes it very approachable.
Yeah, and they do have their own unique looks. I mean, Jay and Billy look very different from each other.
This is true.
Like me and you.
Yeah, well, until you dyed your hair and now you shaved. Now we're starting to get a bit too close to comfort.
Anyway, would you like to see us on camera? That's what I'm trying to come around to. You know?
Yeah.
Would you like to see us more?
I was debating it for the biographic / Game Boyle stuff I was doing and filming myself, showing finds and all this kind of stuff. But we did Tom and Matt attempts and TMA quickies and stuff, which was just us kind of talking over 10 minutes of unedited footage for the most part. But as I've started editing and now that we have a decent editing suite for editing things on, why not? That's something you want to see, us playing video games, insulting each other, me not growing a moustache because I would get in trouble.
And then all this talk about, oh, you've not got a moustache now. Oh, you look different without one, or why Matt doesn't wear one. Maybe you can judge for yourself.
Exactly.
Perhaps, if you think it suits him or not, maybe I can force Matt to grow another one.
It won't happen.
Anyway, just throwing that out there at the start of the podcast. We'll go back to regular broadcasting.
Anyways, how are you? How's your week in gaming been?
My week in gaming's been quiet. To be frank, really.
I'll be Lucy. Carry on.
I do my usual Thursday night gaming session with my friend Gareth back in the UK.
And, you do indeed.
This week we actually pulled out a game we hadn't played in quite some time, which was Resident Evil 5.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I remembered you playing it, but I kind of blanked it out. I was hoping you weren't going to say Soul Calibur.
Really enjoyed. What? Why?
Just because it was just like, well, I played Soul Calibur, oh, which played is a bit unusual. Of Halo Reach, yeah, yeah.
It was a bit unusual that we'd sit down and play through co-op for the whole evening, rather than, you know, we usually have a bit of everything, a bit of a fighting game, a racing game. But yeah, Resi 5, great game, very fond memories of it. Still great to this day, I feel. And visually, I'd forgotten how good it looked, actually.
Yeah, it's a pretty good-looking game.
Very polished game.
Better than 6.
I mean, 6, it still looks very good. You can't argue that 6 is a good-looking game. It's just,
oh, no, 6 is very good-looking.
A very well-designed game. That's the only problem. But yeah, 5 is much more... And the reason I think 5 is so successful is it keeps things simple.
It does.
6 really shook things up to a point where it didn't need to be that shook up.
Yes.
So yeah, really enjoyed our time on Resi 5. And I'm looking forward to actually continuing it next
week.
Yeah,
that's fair enough. Like, apart from the end kind of going like, haha, here are a lot of really strong enemies, and then the end boss fight, which I shan't spoil it for people who haven't played it, but seriously, the game's like 10 years old, almost now. Feels like, anyways. That end boss fight is pretty insane.
Yeah, it's memorable.
It's very memorable. It's a step on the silly side, but yeah. It's all right.
Yeah, I hope when 7 comes around, if Capcom haven't been totally put off the idea of making Resident Evil games, I'm sure they haven't. It's still a nice earner for them.
But is it? How well did 6 do?
It's Resident Evil. Of course people bought it.
Yeah, but not many people kept it, I would imagine. Not many people retained it. And it's probably left a bit of a sour taste
cheap,
in the mouth.
You know, I've seen a lot of cheap copies of it flying about, but... No, I think they're not going to give up on a franchise at Resident Evil.
I think maybe they're going to leave it a few years, though. I think they're going to let it lie a little bit and then see what horror games should be. I mean, especially when you have all this kind of like revival of horror games coming out.
We've
got
Evil Within coming out soon, which will be hopefully set a new benchmark.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
I hope. Anyway, I'm very much looking forward to it.
To be honest, I still want to go back and play Sweet Home on the NES. Like, every time I hear it, it's a Japanese game based on a movie... that essentially inspired Resident Evil. Like, it's the first survival horror game in inverted commas made by Capcom.
Oh, because people don't usually talk about... They talk about Resident Evil being... Or Alone in the Dark.
Yeah.
As being the first survival horror, but...
For this. This is Capcom's first survival horror game. Also takes place in a mansion.
Yeah. Splatterhouse is kind of...
Clock Tower, you know? Like, I guess Alone in the Dark is probably one of the first.
Depends how you define the genre of survival horror.
Yeah, that's true. God,
surviving in a horrific setting.
I really wish Clock Tower had got a UK release or even an American release. I need to play a repo cart of that game.
I've only ever played Clock Tower 3.
I've played Clock Tower 2, which is good. For those of you who have played it, I'm sure I've talked about it on the podcast before. There's a line that always sticks in my head of, "Who bleeds yellow blood?" in a really terrible voiceover.
Nearly Resident Evil standard.
It is definitely Resident Evil standard. Unfortunately, it's not live action, so never mind. Yeah, Clock Tower 2 is alright though, from what I remember.
Okay.
It's pretty enjoyable.
That might be one I'll try out sometime. Other than Resident Evil, I played a bit of DuckTales Remastered the other day. What's great about that game is it retains its classic gameplay from the NES original.
It does.
Doesn't it? It just gives you fresh visuals.
It does give fresh visuals. It is updated. There is a stage at the start that isn't really there in the NES one, which kind of is just kind
of
like, hey, we need to introduce all the story and stuff that isn't really prevalent in the Nintendo version.
My only real criticism of the game is it does stop a lot
To tell the story of the game. The narrative does slow things down a little bit. However,
it's well delivered voice acting.
Yeah, definitely. It's
nice
the original
script.
Cast.
Yeah.
It feels like an episode of DuckTales much more than obviously the game tie-in did. However, like I don't know. I didn't notice it the first time I played it.
If you're replaying it, you don't necessarily want to hear it all over again. So.
No.
And the way you skip it is you press start and it pauses it, and then you have the option to skip the cinematic, which is a little bit jarring.
It was a big draw of the game, though, that they'd got the original voiceover cast and this kind of stuff. So I can kind of understand why they'd maybe not want you to skip it. But at the same time, it would have been nice just to have it like the original, skip the first level.
Or at least
level
have an
and
option
then...
where you don't have to have it on. Well, but then again, yeah.
To be honest, it's different structures, different blokes. And then, like, the first time I played it, I really enjoyed all the narrative and stuff. Perhaps going back to it a second time, I wouldn't want to, especially now that I'm a lot more familiar with the NES and the Game Boy versions where you can just jump in and play.
Mm. But it's great, and for 30 kroner, which is what I picked it up for.
Oh, man, I forgot to look for a copy.
Yeah, there aren't any more.
Damn it, really?
Yeah, I was in Bilka the other day. Now, we can talk a little about Danish Steals, because I mentioned I was in Bilka. They had Monster Hunter 3DS for 50 kroner.
That's pretty damn good.
I thought that was very good. Also, Street Fighter 4 3D for the 3DS for 20 kroner.
Okay.
Wii Fit Plus for 20 kroner. The kind of prices you look at and you can't quite believe that they're that cheap.
Well, I found some really cheap stuff in Bilka before. I mean, obviously, like, that copy of Assassin's Creed Liberation we gave away for 30 kroner was a bloody steal.
Yeah, I think Bilka could be the best place for gaming deals in Denmark. Retail.
I guess it's probably a case of they reduce stuff a lot quicker to get rid of them.
And I think that's what's happening with the Wii U and 3DS games at the minute. They all seem to have been discounted.
Which is a shame. Like, I hear in the UK as well, there's some very good deals in HMV at the moment for the Wii U, just as the console's starting to sell. Wii Plus Remotes.
Oh, yes.
Wii Motion Plus Remotes are £5. Some games are also reduced around that price. And it's mental. But then again, I guess, if you think about it, most people who have a Wii U probably have a Wii. Much like the reason they didn't bundle them in with the console in the first place is that you're probably selling to the same people.
I did think about that for a while. And I think that might have confused some people when they were thinking about picking up a Wii U. That it doesn't come with the controller they're actually familiar with. I wonder if Nintendo had gone for that angle. That they might have attracted a few more potential buyers if they'd have advertised it. Oh, here's it with a Wii remote. But then maybe they'd got even more confused and just thought it was another
Wii.
Well,
that is the problem with this console's marketing. Like, by calling it a Wii U, they confuse the shit out of a lot of people. And a lot of people just think it's a peripheral. Like, they think that it's just a controller for the Wii rather than a standalone.
I hope now, though, that people are starting to realise, seeing footage of a game like Mario Kart 8, realise that this is new hardware this game's running on. I better get it. And I noticed that people are picking up Wii U's now.
Yeah, a few people on our Twitter feed have picked Wii U's up in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and I'm sure in part due to the release of Mario Kart 8, which is a fantastic game, and another one I had a quick blast on. I did a Grand Prix this morning and was first three races. I was like, yes, this is on 150cc. Just get first on the last race and then there we are. Three stars. Nice.
Yeah.
I came sixth on the last race and I was like, oh, there we go. No stars for me. But I still enjoyed my experience of playing it. It's just fun to pick up and play. You can't go wrong with it.
It is a fantastic game. To be honest, I'm kind of a bit sad that I haven't really played any Mario Kart since that initial burst of, like, the first 2 weeks. Because I was full on it.
But then again, you haven't played a lot of stuff that's not been Game Boy.
This is true. Therein lies the flaw.
Go on, Matthew. What have you been playing on your Game Boy?
Starters, I've been playing a bit of DuckTales. Woohoo. Purely because I bought another copy of it. Came with a few games that I purchased from work. I got DuckTales. Woo. I can't say DuckTales without going woo afterwards, even if it's just in like a really formal way. I got DuckTales, woohoo, and I got Tiny Toons Adventures 2. Montana's Movie Madness is quite an uncommon title, so I was glad to pick that up. I got a copy of Bart vs. the Juggernaut, which is a game I played as a child, but didn't realise. I thought it was hard as a kid, right? But then I played it again, like, as an adult, going, like, okay, well, a lot of these Game Boy games I found tricky when I was a kid, i.e. Gremlins 2 and stuff, I've come back to as an adult and I've kind of worked out where they are. No, just horribly unfair. Terribly, terribly unfair game. And the fact that it's obviously marketed at kids just leaves a bit of a sour taste in my mouth. Also, really weirdly, it does the whole TV show thing of, I guess, people making TV shows who aren't familiar with making games, that all the credits are right to the start of the game and they're unskippable.
Oh, that's annoying. That's not seen often in
It's like two
games.
Or three screens full of like credits and it's just like, I don't really
I guess more
care.
So now with modern games, as more like movies, you might get a credits sequence at the beginning.
Yeah, but like it's the whole of the team. And admittedly, like two or three panels isn't that much when you really think about it. Like,
in fact, they're very proud of the game to put their names on the front of it, at least.
They shouldn't be. It's not that great. But there's one like, so you have to hammer the A button track and field style to go down a skateboard ramp, and there's things on the ramp that may stop you. And even then, like once you fly off the ramp, there's a 99% chance that even though you've done everything perfectly, that the juggernaut, i.e. like a gladiator at the end of the ramp, will have his shield raised high, and then you can't do anything about it. So you hit the shield and you bounce off, and then you have to do the whole course again. But there's like a chessboard level, which I'm going to try and pass later on a bus on my way out. It's just ridiculous. Like, you have to jump, and you have to throw balls in a hoop. But every time you jump, like, the screen flashes and the thing below you can change. But you can't change midair anyways. So why they do it when you jump in is a bit of a pain in the ass, because you just die. And you need to score, like, $10,000 worth of points. And even if you do the skateboard thing perfectly first try, you only get $6,000, which means you need to put what, 8 balls through this court in the basketball net, and I've managed one. Like, I can't see how you progress.
So it's not fun.
No, it's not fun at all, and I kind of just kind of turned it off and played Mega Man instead, which is a lot of fun. What else have you been playing? I've got a lot of Game Boy stuff I can talk about, so I'm just not going to drone on about it.
Not much, to be honest. I mean, we just had a quick go. You mentioned Mega Man. We were playing Mega Man 2 and then a little bit of 3. Basically, if you listen to last week's podcast, I was talking about how difficult I find Mega Man. Infuriatingly so. And I know it's such a popular series. I'm trying my damnedest to like it. But actually having another go there today, you know, I can see the appeal and I'm starting to get into it.
I've been playing the Game Boy one, Dr. Wily's Revenge, the first title on the Game Boy for the last week. And in comparison, it just seems so easy the NES.
Yeah, on the NES, I was... enjoying Mega Man 2 quite a lot.
Yeah, Mega Man 2 is awesome. Like, it's a lot more friendly in terms of giving you...
Health,
and later on as well, especially once you've got the power-up weapons, it'll give you a lot of ammo, which is nice. Which is something the Game Boy one doesn't do. Game Boy one doesn't hold your hand. You have a lot less hit points. If you get hit once or twice, like, you're pretty much dead. It's very unforgiving.
Yeah.
It's all about... Much like Castalion, you memorizing where everything is. There's only 4 stages in all fairness. There's not 8 like the NES game, so it is a bit more doable. And the fact you can just go, okay. And it does have a password system as well, which helps.
You find that a lot with Game Boy games. They're generally shorter than its big console counterpart.
Size of the chips in the carts, man. Like, think of the size of an NES game compared to a Game Boy. It's a teeny tiny console. Well, the console itself isn't. It's like a house brick. But... just not a lot on the carts.
No. I wonder if that was different with Game Boy Advance carts, if they managed to... I mean, some of the Advance games are considerably bigger, aren't they?
They are. Sure. Well, like, I would assume it's not... It's the memory, A, in the cart that's doing it, and obviously, like, you look at things... Like, look at, like, SD cards and stuff now. Look how many gigabytes you can fit on a micro SD. Like, memory just shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. There's a scientific term for it, and essentially it means how technology... expands and how technology gets faster and better, everything starts getting smaller. There's a law to it and how it all works. But you can kind of look at the Game Boy carts and kind of see the same thing of how it gets better. But the Game Boy's main limitation is it's got an 8-bit processor, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, whereas an Advance 32-bit processor, isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, and that's why you get some really amazing titles on the Advance. Talking of Advance... I purchased one off Matthew, an Advance SP.
You did?
Maybe we've talked about this before, but in Denmark and other, I think, other European countries...
It's in a lot of European countries.
There was another model of the SP released with a brighter screen. The difference being it wasn't front-lit, but backlit.
It's actually backlit, yeah. Much like most people mod their original Game Boys, this is a backlit screen, which, unlike the regular SP, which is...
front-lit, yeah.
ASG... I want to say the letters are ASG001 is the one that's front lit, which, while it does help that you can light up the screen, it doesn't really illuminate it clearly. Whereas the 101, which is the model you should be looking out for, is backlit, which means that not only is it very good to begin with because the lights are behind the screen.
I think exclusively it comes in turquoise blue, metallic turquoise blue. I'm not
there
sure.
There are a few colours it comes in, I believe. Yeah, I was actually kind of hoping I got a silver one in the same lot, but unfortunately it was a 001.
Okay. But we mostly encountered the two we have anyway between us are metallic blue.
Exactly the same metallic blue, yeah.
Nice colour.
It is very good.
It's like the colour of the 3DS, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's that exact same shade, I think, almost.
Yeah. But Nintendo Azure, would you call it Azure?
Azure Dreams.
But yeah, happy to have that. Thank you, Matt, for letting me buy that off you. And I played a little bit of Lilo and Stitch on it the other day.
Really?
Lilo and Stitch is an all right Game Boy Advance game.
Yeah, actually. It's not too bad. I got one with my original Game Boy Micro and a copy of it. I think it was actually Lilo and Stitch 1 and 2 on the same cart.
Yeah, they're both similar. Side-scrolling shooters.
Yeah, but pretty good game, pretty fun. I was actually kind of like, oh man, this is a terrible game, and I played it, and it was pretty damn good.
Often you'll be surprised with kids' games, even those based off movies and stuff.
Well, this is the thing, like, I kind of got into this negatively reinforced thing that everyone's on the internet going, like, all licensed games are terrible. Licensed games, you know, like...
It was all we knew back in the day, pretty much.
God, like half the Game Boy library's licensed games. Like, what the hell are you people talking about? Like, play titles like Aladdin on, regardless of what system, the Game Boy one, the NES one, the Super Nintendo one, the Mega Drive one, they're all really good games.
Don't write off stuff released for the PS2, Xbox era, because if you do a little bit of research and find out what developers made what games, you realise there are a lot of talented studios making the movie tie-ins. And just keep your eye out for certain. Once you found one that you like, you'll find they probably made a number of licensed games.
This is true.
A developer called Behavior, I think, who are quite good. There's multiple developers, which
There's Crawfish as well, right? Who used to do all the portable games for the Game Boy Color in advance, such as Godzilla and stuff.
And they did Street Fighter Alpha.
They did indeed, and they were working on Grand Theft Auto 2, I believe, for the Game Boy, which unfortunately never saw the light of day. Mm. But it was supposed to be a very scaled down version of the PS1 classic, which I would have liked to have seen. There are a lot of good developers. Like, you picked up Kim Possible the other day, right, for the PS2,
I did.
Which you really enjoyed.
That's a fun game. That's one that's got now a good reputation, I think, as being a quality game.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, you go to a car boot sale, people are going to be pricing their Marios at like 20, 30 quid for no reason.
Do your research.
Just look at the licensed games. Everyone thinks they're tat. They won't price them up high, and then you get good games out of it. Bada bing, bada boom.
I think we've learned quite a lot from watching Game Chasers, actually, just lately. And it's really got me back in the idea of buying games again.
Yeah, likewise.
But I'm trying to just think about what I really want now.
In contrast to that, I went to a car boot sale
today. Yeah, you did.
That's how game chasing go.
And you just pick up whatever.
And I just bought everything I could get my little hands on.
But it was a good haul.
It was a damn good haul. It's probably the best fight. Like, maybe not in terms of what I actually want. Like, I've got some better finds in terms of things that I want for my collection specifically, or I've had some real, real bargains here in Denmark. I like that copy of Soul Blazer I got for 400 kroner. Yeah. But there are countless games out there. Obviously, these games are produced in their thousands unless they are cluttering up people's attics and their living rooms and under the stairs and all this kind of stuff. But I got some decent titles today. I got you a Wii U. Well, it's a Wii, but it says Wii U. They've kind of edited
it's
the
really
front of the
weird
box.
They've joined the two eyes of Wii up at the bottom to make it look like a Wii U.
Do you know why I think they've done that? I think it's probably because they were afraid of getting sued for using the Wii logo. So I think they've tried to make it in a way
but
that
but now
it,
funnily
fits.
Enough, yeah. Nintendo decided to create a console called the Wii U, and now it's weird.
Yeah, I got you a sealed fighting stick, though. Not the best one, admittedly, but you know.
No, it's I don't actually have a fighting stick for my Wii here. I have one back in the UK, which is the Tatsunoko versus Capcom one, Mad Cats.
Yes,
which is very nice.
I would like
I have to
as
say.
Well.
This one is functional. Yeah. It was only 50 kroner, which is a bargain.
This is a steal.
Had a short go on Samurai Showdown Anthology on the Wii.
Because there's a Samurai Showdown character on the
stick. Yeah, it's not a license or anything, but there is generally one on the on the stick. Not the one, not exactly in the same pose as you see on the box front, though.
What's the guy's name? Is the main guy from Samurai Showdown?
It's not, no, it's a guy who was introduced later on, I think, in Samurai Showdown 4 with the long purple ponytail. Or pink ponytail.
Is he not the main guy?
He's not the main dude. He's got black hair.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Not that you can tell on this, but
well, this is right, the
character design is from 4, I think, or 3.
Okay.
It's been a while. The one thing I found with it, just picking it up and pressing the buttons, was that the face buttons didn't have that nice clicky-clicky. They're a bit too soft. And then, unfortunately, when playing the game, I realised that it's not very sensitive, the stick is. And if you want to like do a diagonal jump forwards or backwards, you really do have to push it in that direction. It's not as light to the touch as some of them.
Yeah, well, you know, we are kind of spoiled for choice, though, right? We've been playing on, like, really nice Madcat sticks for a while.
For 50 kroner, that's nice. It's a pretty cool-looking thing as well.
Yeah. I just picked up loads of stuff for 10 kroner today, which I can't believe my luck, because usually, like, haggling in a Danish flea market, it just doesn't happen. Like, people look at you like you're stupid. I actually got... There was a guy who had a box full... I literally mean a box full of... It was a Mega Drive and a Master System in there. I think there was also a Mega Drive 1 in there, but I didn't even bother looking that far in the box because I could see there was a console at the bottom and that was the bottom of the box, but it was like caked in crap, so I didn't even bother pulling it out. There was a Master System 2 without the slidey bit for the top. How the fuck you break that off, I don't actually know. I'm sure we've talked about
this
before.
We've seen this before. When you were showing these consoles you'd seen on eBay for ridiculous prices, was it? Or was it the Danish eBay?
Yeah, it was how fucking much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the same thing came up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
A Master System with that panel.
No panel on it. There was a Mega Drive 2, which, you know, like when you... I kind of can only say, you know, when we watch Game Chasers and occasionally they'll pick up a console and it's kind of got like brown crusty dirt on it.
Yeah.
It's kind of that on it. Yeah. Then there was a load of... no Mega Drive games in the box either, which is really weird. Like there was a box, like the outer box of Sonic and Knuckles, a Genesis version, which if that had been there, I would have bought it. But it was just the box. There was nothing inside. It was just a cardboard box that was like... obviously meant to go around a wrapper of some kind for the box, but just wasn't there. There was a few common titles like a Ghost House and this kind of stuff. But I picked up Wonder Boy because I've always wanted Wonder Boy, even though I don't own
a
Master System. It's a very good game that you introduced me to, actually, on your Wii back in the day on the virtual console. Then I picked up one called Rampant, which seems to be some kind of strategy game.
Sounds saucy.
One called Clax. They're both by Temco, which is why I picked them up. Because I remember them being an okay company for both NES and Master System games, from what I remember. And then I picked up one called Super Space Invaders, which actually seems to be quite rare. Just because I was like, oh, Space Invaders game on the Sega. Okay, I'll get that. Not bad. I paid 100 kroner in total. The guy had a box and a manual for Double Dragon, and I was like, well, I'll pick that up as well. No, for the Master System. And I was like, well, I'll get that. I'll see if he'll do the four games and this case for 100. And he was like, no. And I was like, well, I said, there's no game in this one. I said, what do you do for 10 then? And he goes, oh, I'm sure I got the game in the house. And I was like, well, I'll give you 10 for it. Like, if you want 25 for the thing, you can get 15 for the kroner for the cartridge. He said, no. I said, well, I'll give you the 25 then. I said, don't worry about the game. And then he just took it off me and wouldn't sell it because it didn't have the game in it. Which is really weird, which is something I've never run into before.
He took it off you? You mean he took it from your
hands? Literally took it from my hands. Like, took it from the top of the pile, as in, like, this is not for sale. Which is really weird.
Because he's thinking he can get more money for it. But he won't.
No, of course he
was selling
won't.
The other ones. Then.
Yeah, because he was selling them for 25 kroner, which
maybe
I offered him.
Maybe he was thinking he'd never sell a loose cartridge.
Maybe
that was his thinking.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe I should go back there again. Then maybe there was some other stuff lurking around that he didn't have. I didn't bother mentioning that Wonder Boy didn't have a manual because I was just like, if you're not letting me buy a case off you, maybe you'll take the game off me. And I actually wanted Wonder Boy.
Hey, but that's the way game chasing go.
Way game chasing go, Tom. We're stealing that cartridge. Wow.
I think we're allowed to. I think that is now.
Well, we're paying homage to a very great YouTube series. So I think it's okay. Please let us know if it's not. I also picked up a copy of Soul Blazer and a copy of Rez for 10 kroner each.
Now, this is good. Rez on PS2. Now, I'm not sure how much that's worth. Did you look it up?
I did not. I just wanted the game. I'm not going to resell it or anything. No. I just genuinely wanted it. I actually started talking to the guy because I picked it up and said, how much are the PS2 games? And he goes, oh, he goes, Rez. He goes, have you played it before? And I said, yeah. He said, I played it. My friend had it on the Dreamcast back in the day, yada, yada. And then we got talking and the guy backed Amplitude. And he was like, oh, have you seen the harmonics for a Kickstarter up for Amplitude? And I was like, yeah, cool. I backed. Did I paid $40 for it. And he goes, I paid $200. He said, I backed it. He goes, it's one of my favourite game series. I wanted it that much. I paid $200.
And we only had this conversation on the podcast, like, who's interested in it?
This guy.
Yeah, there we are. And to actually find someone out in the wild.
Yeah, but then he kind of hit me with the backhand of, there was a copy of Frequency here as well a couple of minutes ago. Wow, that's pretty good.
Do you want to buy the Trance Vibrator for Rez?
I wouldn't mind the Trans Vibrator. Not at that price, though. Not 40 quid. But he said, I had a copy of Frequency here as well just 5 minutes ago. A guy just walked off with it. He only paid me 5 kroner for it. And I was like, because I haven't got Frequency either. So I made dinosaur noises at him. But I kind of went back to that guy as well because I bought the Batman record from him and I also bought your fight stick from the same dude.
Trans Vibrator for £15 on eBay.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
But it's in this kind of little bag.
I have no idea what it looks like. Like, I've probably may have seen them because I see loads of weird PS2 peripherals and then I just kind of...
like that. I'm showing Matt a picture of one now.
I can see a box. So show me afterwards. It's not exciting podcasting.
It's not really, but it's just acknowledging that there was this vibrating device released to... with Rez.
Can you play Frequency with it as well?
No, I don't think so.
Or is it
so.
Just for Rez?
Surely for Rez.
That's really weird.
It's a weird one, isn't
it? I guess
it?
It's kind of harmonics, kind of
you can
put in
it wherever you want. I think that's the idea.
Is it phallic by any chance?
It's just a box. Oh,
achavi.
That's the only reason, because you've got rumble in your controller. So if you want to feel force feedback, you've got it in your hands.
Yeah.
If you want to feel force feedback somewhere else, then you have the option.
I'm not going to buy that if it's in a bag. It's probably sticky.
Because you don't know where it's been.
No, you don't know where it's been. Why is there brown on it? Dirt. I also picked up a copy of Soul Reaver 2 from the same guy. And then dotted around the stall as well for 10 kroner each, I got a copy of Super Mario Super Striker for the GameCube. Unfortunately, missing the manual. A copy of... Drakengard 2, which I already have, but as I was putting mine up for trade, it's nice to have a mint copy that I can actually keep in the library. Mm. I got a copy of Maximo Army of Zin, I think, which is great because I really like the first Maximo game and I played the sequel, so I'm looking forward to doing that.
Yeah, I found that myself in a charity, not a charity, in a cash convert in the UK.
Yeah.
Not so long ago. Good game.
Yeah. And there was another one that I've forgotten what it was. Oh, Jax 3.
Hmm.
Jack and Daxter 3, which is just called Jack 3.
Isn't it?
I know someone who's after a copy of it, so I picked it up for them. And then probably my best deal of the week, 2 copies of Metal Gear Solid for 10 kroner each, which was an absolute bargain. The guy also had Tekken 2 and 3, which I was like, oh, I'll get a copy of Tekken 2 and 3 for 10 kroner each. Mm. And then I picked them up and like, the Tekken was in the big box, like my copy of Galarians, which I got last week for 40 kroner. Which I haven't mentioned on the podcast either. Got a copy of Galarians. Also missing its manual. Boo. It was in the big box, you know, like the Final Fantasy or something like that would come in. But it was just battered to shit. Like there was a big chunk of the plastic missing from the top. The disc was loose in the thing, so I assume it was broken through the case. And there was no manual, so I was like, ah, no, it's not worth it. Especially for a game that's very old. How much does a buy now copy of Metal Gear?
£12.95 someone wants for it. Very good condition.
Yeah. The one with the manual I got is in pristine condition.
Oh, sorry. That's Special Missions. That's not Metal Gear.
Special Missions. Which I also have in the box. There's a lot going on. Which I also bought for 10 kroner.
Yeah, a lot going on there for 99p starting bid.
But
someone wants £15 for the original.
Yeah, I've got the original. If anyone's after a copy... hook me up. I'm sure we can trade something for it.
This Metal Gear Solid was the first game I had on PS1.
Really? That's interesting. Mine was Rayman and Tekken, and then I bought my brother had Tomb Raider. That was generally my flea market things. I got a copy of Dr. Mario and a copy of Daffy Duck, the Sunsoft game, as well for 10 kroner each. I didn't think they were going to work. So I just gave the guy 20 kroner and he was like, yeah. Because they were running amongst a load of leads and our good friend Mark spotted them. So I picked it up. That's pretty much it. I could talk at length about various Game Boy games I've picked up, but I'm not but going to.
So many. It's
I have picked up a shit ton of Game Boy games recently.
Yeah, when we ask Matt what he bought this week, it's bound to be a slot of Game Boy games.
Yes, a slot of Game Boy games. Mm. Anything else for yourself?
Virtua Tennis 4.
Which you bought by accident. I want it to be known.
So, I noticed there was a Sega sale on the Xbox 360 and I immediately went on it and looking at some rather good deals. Admittedly, I had a lot of the games already. But just this week prior, I'd seen a Rockstar sale on there and they were selling Midnight Club LA and I really wanted it and it was like next to nothing, like £3 or something. And thought, well, I'll buy this. And I went on to buy it and no, it wouldn't let me. It said, it's not available in your country.
That sucks.
Which is a shame. I've got an English Xbox account and I guess living in Denmark, you don't have access to certain things. But I found out through just chancing it. I mean, I kind of was interested in Virtua Tennis 4.
Were you?
I was, genuinely. And at the price, which was like just above £3, I thought, yeah, this is pretty good. And I pressed purchase thinking that, just to prove a point that, it wasn't going to do it because of my experience the week before. And it just bought it straight there. And I said, I've just bought Virtua Tennis 4. Fair dues. I downloaded it the day after and had a quick go in the morning. I had a quick go sometime. And really good. I mean, I like Virtua Tennis. Yeah. I think they're great tennis games. And I was actually really impressed with how good the game looked. Yeah. In fact, I was like, well, this is one of the best looking Xbox 360 games I've ever played.
A bold claim.
Yeah. I'm just in. If you talk about purely the characters, the character models in it, they're like the sweat and you know the detail in the faces and everything is like, well, this is really, really very impressive, and I guess they've been able to put such a lot of detail in the characters because you know the only other thing they're rendering is a tennis court, and the people in the background, which were more than just cardboard cutouts as well. It was.
Is it as good as Rockstar Ping Pong?
You know what? I've never played it.
Really?
But I know it's known for being quite a good-looking game.
I own Rockstar Pinball.
I'd love to own it. Ping pong. Table tennis.
Table tennis.
Rockstar presents table tennis, I think.
I can't even remember why I bought it.
I'd buy it.
I think we were playing in a clan. It was like a budget title at the time. I've not actually seen that. Like any car boot or anything I've been to.
It's quite common in the UK.
Cropped up. It's weird.
I don't know if it's an affordable game now or if it's...
I completely forgotten about that title. I think it was like a budget title when it came out. I think I only paid like £20 for it. I think that's why I own it, because it was just kind of like, it's a Rockstar game, it's £20.
That's great, you know, when they released that table tennis game, you wouldn't expect Rockstar to release a table tennis game. It was a nice surprise.
I think everyone thought it was an April Fool's joke at the time. Like, it was just one of those weird announcements.
Yeah, it's a very affordable game.
I assumed it would
be.
eBay.
I mean, people can't get rid of it.
Yeah, it's like £3 right now.
there was the Wii version. I forgot about that.
There was a Wii version? Yeah. That's interesting. I didn't know that existed.
I guess it's got motion. I remember hearing that the motion controls weren't that good in it.
Yeah, so. I bet they wouldn't be, because it's not about the motion controls, really. It's not even really about the game. It's just kind of like, look how pretty we can make things look on the Xbox 360.
Not on the Wii.
Nope.
But I have to say, I'm happy with my purchase of Virtua Tennis 4, and it's got a very nice introduction sequence.
Does it?
It's got this song, and it's all very cool and stylized. And yeah.
You're not selling it to me. I'll have to play it.
You'll have to play it. It's got Kinect support.
Wowzers. So it can look at me being really unfit.
Well, I got a surprise when I turned it on, and then the Kinect came to life. It's, I haven't seen that moving for a while. You know, I think it kind of... creak to life again.
You saw dust settle from the top of the TV and make it look like it was snowing.
Yeah. But I think it was made with Kinect in mind. A lot of the menus are purple and things like that.
Really?
To do with the Kinect branding, I think.
Oh, actually, I'm sure it came in a Kinect box, from what I remember.
Yeah, I think it would have done.
I'm sure it was in one of those
better
purple
with
Kinect boxes, yeah.
Although it doesn't, as you play, it's just... play the game, you have to. I think you have to turn Kinect on or something. It doesn't start as a Kinect game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but apparently better with Kinect. I highly doubt it. But
nope. Says the man who wanted to buy a Kinect.
Mm. mentioned this to Matt earlier because, you know, I was talking there, I was in Bilka, this Danish supermarket, and they had a lot of cheap games. They also had cheap Kinects. These were 400 kroner, which is...
not the construction toy, by the way, the Xbox accessory.
Xbox Kinect, yeah, Kinect. And I did think about it for a while, and then I really thought realistically, I don't really need one of these. I'm not so into Kinect gaming. I've tried it, and it was fun as a novelty. Like you would go in an arcade and play an arcade machine, you know.
Yeah.
I don't see myself using it often. So I decided, no, I'm going to save my money. And hence why I haven't really bought anything video game-wise this last week. Apart from the arcade stick and the Game Boy I picked up off Matt.
Yeah, which was at a bargain price.
Mm-hmm. It was. So I was talking about earlier, games have to be inspired by game chasers, basically. And I started to think about games that I still wanted to get. You know, retro games, specifically. And I dug up an old list that I'd had saved on my Mac in the UK that I actually emailed to myself when I was back in the UK one time to Denmark so I could have another look at it and think about maybe getting some of these games or if I even wanted to get them anymore.
Interesting. Okay.
And I'll have to be quick because the battery on my laptop's about to die. But I'd separate it into console. So for the PSP, I was after the Japanese Parodius compilation.
Yes.
Which I'm still would be more than happy to pick up.
I would actually be more than happy to pick up. I've actually contemplated it a few times, picking up that copy of that game.
On the PS2, we talked about licensed games earlier. There's a fair few of them here. Star Wars Jedi Starfighter.
Okay.
Which I saw quite a lot around.
I've seen that quite a lot as well. Why haven't you bought that?
SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom.
Okay.
SpongeBob Truth or Square. This is because I really like the SpongeBob movie game, and I think they're by the same studio.
It's by Blitz, right?
Blitz, yeah. Another good studio. And Incredibles Rise of the Underminer, is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I quite like the first Incredibles game on PS2.
I think I've got that on the GBA.
Mm. But now, any of those games, I wouldn't say I'm desperately in any need of them, but I made a note of them here.
I wish you told me you were after the SpongeBob games. Like, I see those every bloody week for, like, nothing.
A game that I'm still after and still actively searching for on eBay is Star Fox Assault for the GameCube.
Yeah.
And I've bid on it a few times, but always been outbid. Maybe one day I'll bite the bullet and actually buy it. Metro Prime 2 I don't own, Echoes.
I've seen a few copies of that as well, back in the UK.
Back in the UK, I've seen it in CX, the store, and I've not been able to justify the price on it.
How much have you seen it for in CX? Because I saw it in CX last time I was back.
£10 or something?
I've seen it for like seven.
Between 7 and 10.
I don't think that's that bad. Like, especially when you consider the game. Yeah, okay, you could buy the Metro Prime trilogy on the Wii, which is now considerably a lot more, but like, why not? £7? It's not too bad. How much have you been bidding for Star Fox Assault?
I don't want to bid too much. I think I've seen it go for like 30 before. But
how much have you been putting though?
I mean, about 20.
But like, I would argue that Echoes is probably a better game. Like, I've heard more rave reviews about Echoes, and you won't pay £7 for it.
Yeah, but at the same time, I own Metroid Prime and Corruption, and I've hardly played.
Ah, fair enough.
It's more just to have it in case, you know, I really ever do get into Metroid Prime and I want to play more of it.
It's a good game. I would recommend picking it up for £7.
Another for the GameCube is 007 From Russia With Love. Unenthusiastic voiceover from Sean Connery.
He looks very suave on the cover, though, from what I remember.
Yeah, nice cover. But what it was when I collect games, I think about having one of a certain type of game on every console I own.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, well, I've got James Bond games and all these other consoles. Oh, I haven't got one for the GameCube. Well, it'll be nice to have a James Bond game for the GameCube. I think it's because I think one day maybe I'll be won't have access to some other systems, but I'll still be able to play a game of that type on whatever system I have with me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not totally true about every system I own, but I have tried to get... I mean, with sports games... I had my thing of buying sports games on the Xbox and PS2, I think.
Yeah.
So I've got a sports game of every sport on those consoles.
Really?
A GameCube included. I've got NBA, Street Volume 3, which is very good. And I've got NBA Street on the PS2. And
oh my God, I can't believe you've thought that far ahead. There's like, I have, like, because I like rugby games. Like, I think the only rugby game I've got, though, rugby. Is, like, Jornalumu's rugby on the PS1.
I have EA Sports Rugby on the Xbox.
I think I have Rugby 07, I want to say, as well, on the PS2 somewhere.
This one's just called Rugby. EA Sports Rugby, I think. I also have a Madden game on Xbox, which after trying to play with a friend, I threw on the ground as if to do a touchdown and snapped the box because I got really angry. Not like me to get angry. It was more a jokey thing to do. You know, touchdown, and then it smashed. I was like, oh, right. So that's how I feel about Madden games.
Okay.
There'll be no more of them on this list. I seem to have I have a heading for N64, but it's empty now. So I think I must have bought everything. But I was.
Have you actually been actively editing this then?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got the original list?
No, no.
Oh, damn, that's a shame.
Snowboard Kids is now on there. There we go. We've added
I'm glad
to
you
it.
Amended that.
Because I want to play that one.
Good friend Ali at the Retro Hunter, who I've been chatting to on Twitter actually throughout this and talking about Game Boy Advance systems. As actually picked up a copy of that for like £7 the other day, which seems like a pretty fair price.
Yeah, good. I mean, if I see it too expensive physical copy, I'm more than happy just to buy one for £7 off Virtual Console.
Yeah.
On the PS1, Gradius Gaiden.
Yeah.
Or Gradius. I'm never sure what to call it.
I think it's Gradius.
Gradius. Let's say Gradius Gaiden. Now, I have this game on the PSP Gradius Collection.
Yes.
So I haven't picked it up yet for PS1 because I'm kind of like, I've already got it.
Yes. Yeah. It makes sense.
A couple of fighting games, a few actually, four.
You're actually missing fighting games.
Yeah. Inuyasha. I can't pronounce it, but it's a popular manga about a boy who turns into a wolf or something like that.
He
wears red and
he's wolfy.
There's a fighting game based on that series that looks rather
good.
Yeah,
but like, surely if you picking up PS2 fighting games based on anime should really tell
you.
This
is PS1.
Okay, yeah, but I'm saying like the amount of shitty licensed fighting games you've bought on the PS2 should probably teach you that PS1's probably
not... Yeah, but I heard this game was good and a good fighting system.
Enough.
Same with Samurai Deeper Kyo as well, which looked pretty good. The original Last Blade, which I realised I don't actually own, I've got that down as buying it on the PS1, but I think what I'll do is just purchase it off the Virtual Console Neo Geo version.
Yeah?
That's a bit more affordable.
Okay.
And Goiken Moyo 2, which is a sequel to Goiken Moyo.
Zero Divide 2 is not on this list, Tom.
Huh?
Why is Zero Divide 2 not on this list?
It's added.
Good.
But that's a really good series, and I have the first one on the Saturn, and I wanted to get the sequel on the PS1. DS Kirby Superstar Ultra.
Jesus, you've got this all well catalogued.
Space Invaders Extreme 2, I have the first one on the PSP. And again, I was thinking, oh, if I want a Space Invaders game on a different portable console, I'll get the sequel on DS rather than buy the sequel on PSP. The Korg Synth for the DS as well, but I think you can get a downloadable version of that.
Yeah.
Technically not a game. Double Dragon remake for the Game Boy Advance, which is quite rare. And
didn't
lots
even
of
know that existed.
Bootlegs of on eBay. You've got to be careful.
Okay.
But that's really good. There's a remake of River City Ransom as well on the Game Boy Advance, which might be worth
I really
up.
Want to buy the NES version of River City Ransom.
I have it, I think.
Really?
I have it. Oh, maybe on Virtual Console.
Damn it. I think you've probably got it on Virtual Console. It's called like Street Gangs or
Street
something.
Street Gangs.
In
have it on Virtual Console. Yeah.
Damn it. I want to get that game.
My Game Boy Color is empty. Heading.
It should be
very
nothing
full,
nothing
I Tom. Want on
there
Game Boy.
There are a million quality titles.
I still don't have Battletoads on the NES, and that's hanging around here.
Yeah.
Super Nintendo. Star Fox. Don't own it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh man, I've seen so many copies of that I've just let go.
UN Squadron.
I really want UN Squadron. This is from Game Chasers. You
this
put this on.
Way before Game Chasers.
Okay, fair enough. I wanted
UN
it before
Squadron.
Game Chasers and that kind of revived.
Axley is a shooter.
Yeah, I know Axley.
And Plock, which I think is a platformer.
Yes,
which I saw
with
recently.
A red kind of weird thing with eyes, right?
Yeah, I think that's Plock, yeah. There's a Ranmaha fighting game on Super Nintendo, which looked pretty good. There's a few of them, but there was one particular that looked really good, or I heard was the best. 100% Cotton, which was a game I really used to enjoy on emulators.
No, I never heard of that.
The Saturn sequel.
Is that a fighter?
No, it's a side-scrolling shooter with a witch on a broomstick.
Oh, yes.
With like a red bob cut.
Yes, it's very rare from what I remember, right? It's quite pricey.
Yeah, it would be the Japanese version.
Okay, which is probably more common, yeah. Okay.
And Mega Drive, I still don't own Ghostbusters, which I'd like to get my hands on at some point. On the Saturn, there's obviously I have a Japanese Saturn. Well, I do have a PAL one now, but the Japanese one is what I buy for usually because I'm into the fighting games. There's a fighting game called Rabbit.
Interesting.
There's a fighting game called Ninku. Alan Dory. I don't know what it is. It's a fighting game, which I thought was looked pretty good at one point. There's a few shooters, the Parodius Deluxe Pack and Gradius Deluxe Pack, which I'm not sure if I'll bother with now because I have them on different formats.
And you can also get them on PSP.
On PSP.
Yeah, get them in the collection.
Magical Hoppers, which is Pandemonium, is it? It's the Japanese version of Pandemonium, which I have Pandemonium. I don't need the Japanese version.
That's really weird. Why is that on that list? You could just get it on the PS1 and then...
It's a good platformer. I know, but it's got different characters in the Saturn version.
Really? Mm. Oh, okay.
Three Dirty Dwarves for the Saturn.
Okay.
And the Virtual Console, I have its own Virtual Console list. I need Splathouse 2.
Hang on, why the fuck is Astral Superstars on that Saturn list,
Thomas? Oh, I forget about that. Astral Superstars. Yeah, that should be on there. Sunsoft Fighter, which I don't own yet.
Spiritual successor to Waku Waku 7, a game that is on my list of games I would like to own one day.
Splathouse 2 on Virtual Console, I have Splathouse 1. Musha for the Mega Drive. Alien Soldier, great treasure game.
Yeah.
Mega Drive. And I don't have Paper Mario, so I thought I'd pick that up on
the N64 one. Oh, and God, I won that game.
3DS, I have Mega Man 1. I don't know why.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know if I need it really. I have to find out if I'm really into Mega Man or not before I pick that one up.
Well, you know, I've kind of got a wealth of them anyway, so you'd be all right. Actually, if you want to pick up my 3DS, I got Mega Man 1 on there anyways, so you can give it a go.
There's other games which I'd be quite happy to pick up and play.
Yeah.
But these were ones I have on this particular list and have been waiting for some time. So it's one I always come back to and think, what games do I really want? Well, I made this list once upon a time. These are probably the games that I feel
there are 32X games that I know you want that aren't on that game, such as Knuckles Chaotix.
Yeah. It's not the
Snatcher
most...
Snatcher is not on that list.
It's not the most comprehensive list.
No.
But they were things that came to mind at the time.
Okay, fair enough.
There you go. Oh.
My list is a bit more concise. As a Japanese role-playing aficionado, I tended to buy only JRPGs for the longest time, and so a lot of the games that I really wanted I now have, such as the Psychoden series. I'm actually still missing Psychoden Terrax or something, the DS game that's got a weird title I would like. All of the Mega Man games would also be nice. I had one, I lent it to someone, I never got it back. I have 2 and 3, I have X1. I would like X2 and 3 as well on the Super Nintendo, just because they're fantastic games. However, they are ridiculously overpriced, purely because they're very good games. And I wouldn't say they're that rare. I have seen them in the wild and foolishly not bought them in my youth. So they are obtainable, it's just a matter of finding it, where's and when's, etc. Trip World, I would love for the Game Boy, purely after playing it on your 3DS. I've really grown an interest in that game. I think it's amazing. It's also obscure as hell for the Game Boy, so I'm hoping one day I'll run into it in the wild and not have to pay £200 to complete my Game Boy collection. Please, God, let me run into it in the wild. I've got a few N64 titles that... My N64 library is not very big at all. I have a handful of carts to the N64, purely because I sold a lot of them, because that was around the time where my interest kind of waned in gaming for a year or two, and they were very good trading rates to get things that I did want. And so I did get things like Secret of Mana through it. I did get some other RPGs for various titles, like I got Star Ocean 2 and stuff, which I then later sold. But I did get games I wanted for them, at least. But looking back, I would really like another copy of Paper Mario. I would like to get Majora's Mask again, because I only kept my Ocarina of Time. I wouldn't say no to a new copy of Jet Force Gemini. I'd love a copy of Conkers. I also want Buck Bumble.
Because I brought it back.
Have you brought it back? I'm going to play the shit out of that after I edit this. Super Nintendo... to be honest, I've really got a lot of what I want for that. I'm missing one or two RPGs. I would like Breath of Fire 2. I've now finally got a copy of Secret of Evermore, so I can strike that off the list. I want a copy of Castlevania Vampire's Kiss if I could ever see it in the wild, but I don't think I'm going to because it's crazy expensive. I really want a copy of Earthbound, and that's about it. Those are the games I can think of off the top of my head that I really, really want. Oh, also, I wouldn't mind the Mega Man games that are on the PS1 as well. I could also get X3 there, as well as X4. I've got 5 and 6, and 7 and 8 are on the PS2, but they're crap anyways.
Vampire's Kiss?
Yes.
Hmm.
Very obscure.
£55 almost on eBay for it.
That's actually pretty good. I've seen it go for a lot more.
Newly listed?
Oh, actually, I would also really, really like a copy of Panzer Dragoon Saga, which I saw Ali at the Retro Hunters picked up. I hate you so much when I saw that picture.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh! I hope you at least... you got it for a good price. I'm interested to see what that price was, because I have a limit in my head of what I would pay for that game.
Ah.
What?
This Vampire's Kiss. It's a repro.
Ah, see?
But it's a boxed repro, and it looks genuine.
But it's a box repo. It's not the original. The original is very expensive. Yeah. It was one of those games that even back in the day, even when I was like 14, 15, collecting retro games, was around £80, £90. Mm. I dread to think in this day and age of inflated retro prices how much it would be. Mm. Probably about £200-£300, if not more.
Oh my lord.
Speaking of which, your copy of Castlevania 3, a game that you paid...
Not much.
Diddly squat.
I can't remember. It wasn't a lot of money at all. It was below £20, much below that. In fact, it was in a crush box. I don't think anyone else wanted it. I got an eBay for a steal.
Yeah. Would you like to, I guess you just typed it in, tell us how much a copy of Castlevania 3 on
Well, it is eBay prices, which is, I guess, a good point to... I mean, £30 one bid for just a cartridge. There's a box one here. Somebody wants to buy it now of £285.
Which is insanity.
Which is, I think, a little bit much. Even a loose cart with the manual, £110. I find the American copy, the NC copies, are...
A little bit less.
A little bit more affordable. You can get a box copy there for £80. It seems to be quite a collectible game. You can buy one just a cart NTSC for 33.
And the region modding of the NES isn't too difficult. It just involves fiddling around with some stuff inside. It's pretty doable.
But yeah, this is an acceptable condition cartridge of Dracula's Curse is going for £30 at the minute.
Okay.
One bid.
Good times.
So it's nice to know I've got maybe got a game there that's worth something. I didn't know that at the time.
No.
I bought it at all. So obviously that wasn't reflected in the price that I paid for it. And it goes to show how much games have risen in price.
This is true. And obviously we talk about stupid prices and stuff. Like that guy wanted £100 for what was probably a box of crap. Mm. Like I would, there's no doubt in my mind that if I bought one of those consoles, it probably wouldn't work just because of the condition they were in. But... You know, every now and again, you can pick up something really nice. You can pick up a copy of Rez for 10 kroner. That's always good. Pick up a copy of Metal Gear Solid for 10 kroner if you're willing to wait it out and look around enough.
Indeed.
Yeah. I guess that brings us to the end of this episode. Please, please, please get back to us with feedback about us in videos, as we talked about in the start of the episode.
Well, we just might well go ahead and do it.
We'll probably do it anyway. Like it. Yeah.
It's kind of cool in a way that we're so aloof. That people don't really know what we look like.
Yeah, but then people don't care. Like, that's the same.
Here's an idea. If you've got time, draw a picture of what you think we look like.
Everyone's seen me.
Have they?
Yeah, a lot of people know what I look like.
Okay, forget that for a moment. what we sound like.
Yeah, draw what we sound
if
like.
Yeah, that's just a fun little thing. If
I hate
you want
to break
tweet
it to you.
To
like,
us or anything.
People haven't even bothered doing the Tetris competition, which I thought was pretty easy and straightforward, but apparently not. We're running a contest at the moment to give away an amazing Pixel Tees until the end of July. I'm also chipping in a copy of Tetris and a Game Boy, so that should also
it's
be
a really cool
enough.
Concept, and this is. you print off a sheet of Tetris shapes,
which you can find on her Instagram, which is just Tom and Matt Attack, but it's also on her Twitter. I'll also post it on the blog as well, so I can share.
And then take a picture of you holding the Tetris pieces up to a structure you see around you in the real world, where you feel like the Tetris pieces could fit in there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's quite a fun thing to do, and you'll get a prize out of it. So
exactly,
I even gave it a go, and I'm not one to tweet a lot.
No, Tom did it. My girlfriend did it. And not by me going like, please do it. She actually was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool, and did it. And like, I got a lot of likes from people and stuff on Instagram. So like, it'll give you likes and make you internet famous.
So you should give it a go.
Yeah, give it a go. There's also a black and white one as well, if you're worried about your office printer or the one in the house. I try. Other than that, check out my new YouTube venture on the side of this at Game Boyle. It's called Biographic. It's just essentially me looking at these Game Boy games I'm picking up in a stylized way. Maybe you will also see my face on there. That would be good. It's youtube.com/GameBoyle, I believe. And of course, as always, check out blastprocess.com for the latest in news, reviews, etc. We are a member of that website and you should support it, because that's all well and good. Us, however, if you are listening to this podcast and you go, well, where can I find out more about this, Tom and Matt fellows? Where can I send my picture of my drawing of their voice? Well, you can do that in a number of ways. You can go to facebook.com/Tom and Matt Attack.
Yeah, you could post it to our Facebook wall if you want.
You could. Our Facebook wall generally goes quite underutilized, purely because not a lot of people seem to use it and to correspond with us, unlike Twitter, which is a bit of a shame. But our Twitter is at TMAcast, where I will be on it 24/7, like a hound dog, waiting for you to post pictures of Tetris things. We have an Instagram, like I said, which is Tom and Matt Attack, but we don't really use that. It's just for this Tetris contest. And we're also available in iTunes and Stitcher. While you're there in iTunes, give us a cheeky rate or subscribe. That would be nice. Tell your friends. And that's it, I think.
That's it, yeah. Hope you've enjoyed the show.
I hope you
have. We always enjoy doing it, every week, without fail.
Every Sunday. There will also be a Game Boyle episode every Sunday to correspond with this. And
wow, we're giving a lot of Thursday, content out
here. We are giving a lot of content. We're giving a lot of love, Tom. That's what I like to think. We're giving a lot of love.
A lot of love.
Give a lot of love, and you'll get a lot of love in return. Don't break your heart. It's no other will.
61 podcasts in.
61.
Still, I think, going strong.
Tom, Matt, Tack. Game on, guys.
Game on.